Venture X from Capital One is the travel card for people always asking,
where next?
You earn 10x miles on hotels and rental cars and 5x miles on flights booked through Capital One Travel and 2x miles on everything else you buy with Venture X. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges. The Venture X card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this 15th day of September 2023. And tonight, our producer is none other than the boss, Josh Booth. Hey, Booth.
Hey, how's it going?
All right, there you go. And we have that legendary statesman, none other than Big John McTernan.
Well, hello, Pastor Ernie. God bless you and all our listeners.
Thank you. And I am their humble hero, Pastor Ernie Sanders. All right, we've got a lot to do tonight, don't we? And so we're going to get right into it. You ready, Big John?
I'm ready, Pastor Ernie.
We're going to start in the book of Acts tonight. And if you would start with verse 12 through 16, then I'm going to pick it up in verse 17 through 28. And then you'll...
I have to know what chapter. What chapter, Pastor Ernie?
Why is that important?
Because there's 28 chapters in the book of Acts.
All right. Chapter 5. All righty. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. You read it through 16. Okay?
Then
I'm going to pick it up in 17 and read through 28. And then you pick it up in 29 and read through 39. 29 through 39. And then I'll finish it.
Do you expect me to remember all of that?
I'll just tell you when you're ready, okay?
All right, 12 through 16, and then...
I pick it up at 17.
Right.
I read it through 28, and then 29 through 39. 29 through 39.
Oh, okay, that's simple enough.
All right, yeah.
Acts 5:12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, when they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added unto the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch as they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, and that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one.
Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation. And they laid their hands on the apostles, and they put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard this, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and they called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told them, saying, the prison truly we found shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without, therefore the doors, before the doors. But when we opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captains of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them, whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing right in the temple, and they're teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council and the high priest and asked them, saying, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in his name? And behold, you filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us.
Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom he has given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood up one of the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among the people, and commanded to put the disciples forth for a little space, and said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do touching these men. For before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all of them, as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of taxing, and drew away many people after him. He also perished. And all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or the work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God.
And to him they agreed, and when they called the apostle and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. We kind of need that spirit today, don't we? Don't we need pastors like that today? Bold, bold, bold pastors. All righty.
Oh, yeah, Pastor Ernie. You know, you just go back to chapter 2, and you see the day of Pentecost and the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And what you're seeing in chapter 5 is the fruit and the power of the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Okay, so here we go back. We go to verse 12, and it talks about, by the hands of the apostles, there were many, many miracles wrought, okay? And here, when you take a look at this, here they were, and when the people saw these miracles being wrought, the Jews always needed a what? Always demanded a, they had to have a sign, didn't they?
Yeah.
Okay. And so here, when they saw these signs, all of a sudden, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes of men and women. So when they saw the signs, that's what they needed. Seeing to them was believing, huh?
Yeah, Pastor.
And so they were bringing their sick people into the streets, hoping that even if Peter's shadow passed over them, they'd receive a healing. Why do you think they thought that?
That's a good question, Pastor Ernie. I don't know.
Well, it's because they were healed when Peter's shadow passed over them. There you go. So, but now
that's a good explanation.
Well, yeah, I know those things. Anyhow, now there came a multitude out of the cities round about in Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. And so here, you know, those that were vexed with unclean spirits, what do you think that meant, vexed with unclean spirit?
They were bothered, Pastor Ernie. They were afflicted.
Actually, that word there in the Greek means tormented, huh? Tormented, yeah.
Afflicted, yeah.
Now, okay, verse 17, John. Then the high priest rose up, and all that they were with him, which was of the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation. What was it that the Sadducees were known for? What did they not believe in?
It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection, Pastor Ernie.
That's why they were sad, you see. But as the old saying goes, so now, who else didn't believe in the resurrection?
I don't know.
All of the pagan religious didn't believe in the resurrection.
Oh, I thought you were talking within the Jewish.
Yeah. No. Well, obviously, the Herodians didn't believe, but they were like half-breed Jews, but they didn't believe. And here now, so you see, the Sadducees were, I mean, what else was a common thing that they did do, which was virtually against the first commandment? They worshipped angels. And you can't, does worshiping constitute, say, if you worship something, does that constitute you believe that thing is a god?
I would say absolutely, Pastor.
Yeah, you would think so, yeah. What the requirements would be to pray to something. Every Christmas you go through you hear these people come out, the legalists especially, and they come out and they make a big fuss about people that have Christmas trees. They got a Christmas tree. Oh, that Christmas tree. Look at him. It's a terrible thing. It's right from the pit of hell. Okay, what would constitute making a Christmas tree a false god, an idol?
Well, if you believe that it was a part of your religious system, if it was something, because what happened was the pagans used to commit all sorts of abominations in the grove under the trees, and that was a part of their worship system.
That's true, and also in Jeremiah they would take a tree and they would overlay it with gold and silver, and they would pray to it. Now, if you pray to something, or you bow down and you worship at something, does that not constitute an idol then?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But if you have a Christmas tree in your living room and all you do is look at it or put presents under it, does that constitute an idol?
No. No, that's just like part of a tradition.
That's what I would think, yeah. Now, myself, I'm not into Christmas trees. I'm into nativity scenes. I like nativity. Some people think having a nativity scene is a form of idolatry. It would be if you were to pray to the nativity scene, wouldn't it be?
Yeah, what's wrong with the nativity scene, Pastor Ernie?
Some people think that it's a form of by having that, you've made an idol out of it by having one. This is what a lot of the legalists. Now, let me ask you this. Have you had a birthday recently?
Yeah, too many of them.
Yeah.
I'm catching you.
Yeah, I have one in less than 2 hours. Okay, and you probably didn't.
Tomorrow's your birthday?
Yeah, and you probably didn't get me anything, did you?
I didn't know it was.
Oh, Josh's was 2 days ago, yeah. And so he's older than me, I think. All right. Okay. Anyhow, I got to watch what I say on live radio. But anyhow, there are people. Listen, I had a young couple. They were nice folks. But they would get so upset if you celebrated a birthday. If you sang happy birthday, and we do that. We have a tradition in our church. When someone has a birthday, we all sing happy birthday to them. Okay? That's been a tradition for 50 years. Okay? But we had a young couple that were so offended. They were absolutely offended because we sang happy birthday because they believed that you were making an idol out of a day. That's kind of, boy, stretching things, isn't it? Isn't that kind of going over the top?
Yeah, it really is, Pastor Ernie. I mean, come on. You're acknowledging someone was born. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, they were created in the image of God. Jesus died on the cross for them to shed his blood.
Well, see, that's what Christmas is about. It's a celebration of the birth of the Christ, the Messiah. But they refuse to do that because they say that's worshiping a day instead of God. I kind of think
Ernie, to me, there's a difference between honoring a day and worshiping a day.
I would think so.
Yeah, so honoring the day you were born is not worshiping it.
I know that. I'm with you on that one. Okay, I don't, I don't make a big deal out of birthdays, but I don't, I'm not paranoid about them either. You know, if you sing happy birthday or if you have a birthday, that's just a tradition. It's not a form of idolatry. Well, here we go. When we get down here, we say, verse 18, they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, now who is the angel of the Lord?
Well, this is interesting, Pastor Ernie, because the angel of the Lord appears several times in the Old Testament. But here we have the angel of the Lord in the book of Acts in the New Testament. And the angel of the Lord can be looked at as the Lord Jesus Christ.
It's called the Christophany, huh?
Yeah. But this one here looks, it just doesn't fit that for me. It looks like he's just an angel that is directed by the Lord to do a mission.
If that was the case, it would say an angel of the Lord. But everywhere where the Lord, where you've had a Christophany, it would be the angel of the Lord. So when it says the angel of the Lord, that's a Christophany. But you have here, now here's the things. First of all, he's telling them, go and speak into the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they had heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning. Now, what could possibly add to your theory or your feeling? Could that possibly be that they didn't immediately get on their knees and worship him?
Pastor, and it's because he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. So it just looks different. It doesn't have the same kind of like setting in my mind as it does in the Old Testament.
Okay. So I see. Well, like in the Old Testament, though, now in Luke and that, where the angel of the Lord appeared, he appeared with Shekinah glory. When he appeared to Joshua, what did he tell Joshua to do? Take your shoes off, Joshua, because wherever he stood, the ground was holy, right? And of course, Joshua, you know, worshipped him. We see that again with Luke, how all the angels saying praise to the Lord and saying praise to him because it was the Lord Jesus himself at Christophany. But here, it doesn't say that they immediately bowed down or immediately worshiped him.
Right.
But he says, go stand and speak in the temple to the people with all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple in the morning and taught. But the high priest came and they were with him and called the council together and all the Senate. Now, the Senate, that wasn't just Sadducees. When they did that, that had to be both the Sadducees and the Pharisees, huh? That was the
Look at that as the Sanhedrin.
Yeah, what's referred to as the Council of Elders over in Acts. Remember in Acts 4, 5, and 6 of the previous chapter, the Council of Elders. And so here, and they sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found that them not in the prison, then they returned and told them. So how did they get by the guards without the guards seeing them?
Well, they were just blinded by the move of God. They were just blinded, and they went right by him. They couldn't see him.
Like in Sodom and Gomorrah?
Oh, yeah, they were blind. They were certainly blinded.
Like when Elisha blinded all the chariots of the army, the pagan army?
Yeah, there was several times in the Bible when they were blinded.
All right,
but
so
they
here,
weren't blinded that they couldn't see, or blinded. They were just blinded that God could move right in front of them, and then they could not see that.
It's when the Lord Jesus was speaking, and they picked up stones to stone him, and he walked right through it without them seeing him. So he made himself invisible, didn't he, to their eyes?
Right.
Okay, so here, you know what? I think we're going to have to stop there because we're up against a break. We'll be back after this with more.
Gordon Call was right when he made his famous stand. Heaven knows there was a man who fought the righteous fight till the wrong arm of the law gunned him down in Arkansas. He would not pay one dime of tribute to the IRS, and for his disobedience they planned his fiery death. Shed before, and though these tents of flesh may fail, the gates of hell shall never prevail. Because he gave his life for me, I shall not fear adversity, and we shall all meet at heaven's door. Because all is fair in love and war.
5:45 p.m. on a North Dakota road, February 83, that's when the war began, where two federal marshals died for the sake of tyranny. They both would underestimate the courage of one man, who only shot in self-defense to save his promised land. Because all is fair in love and war, Christian blood has been shed before. And though these tents of flesh may fail, the gates of hell shall never prevail. Because he gave his life for me, I shall not fear adversity, and we shall all meet at heaven's door. 'Cause all is fair in love and war. When all was said and done, and the verdict's handed down, someone had to take the fall, and it was Gordon's son, who was wounded in the fray. Please won't you pray for your recall, who now must waste his life away inside some stinking jail. Please pray the Lord might set him free, through faith we shall prevail. They say all is fair in love and war, Christian blood has been shed before. And though these tents of flesh may fail, the gates of hell shall never prevail. Because he gave his life for me, I shall not fear adversity, and we shall all meet at heaven's door. 'Cause all is fair in love, in love and war.
Alrighty, we're back. And hey, John, you may have noticed that Ron is not with us tonight, Ron Ritz. So Ron is kind of under the weather, and so he's not with us tonight. And then we've got a prayer request because Ron has a daughter named Julianne, and she's taking some tests, folks, and there's been a lot of concern, and I'm not going to go into all the reasons why, but there may be cancer, what do you call it? Uterine cancer. And uterine cancer is not a good thing at all. And so her mother, who is a faithful, wonderful Christian lady, has asked that I could ask you folks out there, all of you out there, to pray for her. If you would do that, join with me in this prayer. A loving mother would really appreciate it. So let's do that right now. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we want to hold up Julianne. And Lord, we know this. We know this. We know that if people out there that you, when you say you pray, Father God, and believing, and if you pray in accordance, and we know, Lord, that you, Father God, sometimes you say, not yet. But we know that all things work together for good to those that love you. And we know that a lot of people will be praying for, those that love you will be praying for Julianne. So we're asking tonight, Lord. We're asking tonight because we know, Lord, you are a merciful God, a most merciful God, that you just might touch Julianne and give her a complete and total healing.
Amen.
Lord, these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, John, God answers all prayer. He doesn't answer when we want him to. He's not on our time clock, is he?
No, he isn't, Pastor Ernie. He's got great patience and great mercy, and we generally want it now. That's the way we act.
Yeah.
And so, we have to. It's part of learning. I'm going to say maybe delay in our mind, delaying answers to prayer. That's part of growing in faith and patience.
It is, but the reason we're so impatient is because, you know, our lifespan is like a vapor that appears before an instant. So we don't have a whole lot of that time, but God is not controlled by time at all. In fact, time is controlled by God. Time is what God says it is, isn't it?
Yeah. God operates outside of time. So we just have to wait and be patient on him.
Amen. I'm going to talk about something that's coming up here. I've talked about tactical civics before. And so I'm going to tell you a little bit, because we're going to be reading and having tactical civings classes taught at Doers of the Word Baptist Church. And let me tell you what this is. It's, the United States of America are a unique republic in world history, and that's a fact. Who is the boss in our constitutional republic? John, that's what the Founding Fathers gave us, didn't they? They never gave us no democracy, did they?
Well, Pastor Ernie, no. And democracy is very, very dangerous because you can have, like, the tyranny of the majority. I mean, if you want to go by democracy, 50% plus one, they can do anything they want.
Another name for that is mob rule, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, where we have a constitution and we operate within that constitution, so what we operate on is a constitutional republic.
Right. So who is the boss in our constitutional republic? We, the people, are the boss, but only collectively, not as individual sovereign citizens. A loopy label for anarchy in the preamble to the Constitution. We clearly stipulate, we, the people, do ordain, and in the 10th Amendment, we stipulate that we, the people, retain all powers that we don't delegate to our servants in the Constitution. Now, I'm going to say all this because this really has a lot to do with this issue one that we're battling. But here, our servants have stolen that right for themselves. 75% of present federal agencies, bureaus, offices, regulations, and projects are illegal, John. They're illegal. You know, because you were a special U.S. Treasury agent for all those years. And D.C. is not only criminal, it is criminogenic. It teaches states and counties, cities, and school districts to be criminal, too. In our Constitution, we, the people, create, define, and limit our federal servants. But those limits only hold if we, the people, enforce the supreme law. As its creators, we, the people, are the only human power above our Constitution to enforce it. Yet we never have. But now, after 80,000 hours of R&D, or tactical civics, with chapters in over, well, now it's over 900 counties. I heard tonight that it was like 900 counties. In all 50 states, offers a full spectrum solution. We plan 3,141 chapters, one per county. Then our first right, we will expand to 6,500 chapters. Now, let me tell you what that's all about. Let me just go on and let them tell you what it's all about. Grand jury ordinances. Grand jury, a 1,000-year-old institution we inherited from England, is part of the common law system and a key institution that we stipulate in our Constitution. Corrupt judges and prosecutors, and boy, John, did you ever imagine that we would see corrupt attorney generals like Merrick Garland, anyone that corrupt? I mean, Al Capone would look at that and say, that guy's a criminal, right? Did you ever think that you would see the head of the FBI? Now, you, when you were back working, well, we knew that there was rogue agents back then. Ted Gunderson used to tell me how he knew that, in fact, that they ended up killing him. But did you ever think it would be as bad as it is today?
Oh, no, no, Pastor Ernie. This is like Al Capone and the mob in Chicago there in the 30s. They've moved into Washington and taken over. I mean, seriously, everything is corrupted by them. And back in the day, you didn't see, Pastor Ernie, the big corruption. You know, you'd have, let's say, an investigation on some senator, but he was a Democrat. And next thing you know, nothing happened. I mean, it was quiet. It happened. That was politics. But today, I mean, it was done like quietly, very little fanfare. But today, it's out in the open, in your face. They're doing it, I mean, without any reservation, in your face. What are you going to do about it?
I know. Here, as I just said, a grand jury, a thousand-year-old institution we inherited from England as part of our common law system, and a key institution that we stipulate in our Constitution. Corrupt judges and prosecutors have turned grand jury into their rubber stamp, yet the authority of we the people to investigate crime when seated as grand jury essentially is unlimited. Our network of chapters will get county grand jury ordinances enacted to establish, educate grand juries operating independently of prosecutors and judges as they should. You see, this is what we have. You have really, really corrupt, I mean completely, totally corrupt people like that Jack Smith. And what does he do? He puts together a totally corrupt grand jury. But
well, you see, Pastor Ernie, the grand jury was supposed to be like independent, and it was supposed to be the people. It was like a buffer for us that the grand jury would kind of protect us from some rogue prosecutor, because they were, and rather than just going to trial and arresting a person and going to trial, the grand jury was there for evidence to be presented, and they could not. It's called no true bill, and then the case ended. There was no indictment. That's what they were intended for, but they've become just a rubber stamp, I guess would be the best way to explain it, Pastor.
When you have it like in New York with that Bragg, you have, and these are all Soros bought. You have Big Fatty out there in Georgia. These are all Soros bought and paid for prostitutes, okay? I mean, they're owned. I mean, and Soros admitted that's what he was doing. He was going to buy them and put them in there. And so what's happening now, a grand jury is supposed to be totally independent from the prosecutor, isn't it?
Right. Right, Pastor Ernie, right.
And so here, in our Constitution, we stipulate that militia will execute the laws of the Union. Law enforcement is a state and local responsibility. We never authorize federal law enforcement, never in the Constitution, the FBI, the ATF, etc. We stipulate that states must appoint militia officers and provide training, but no state is doing so. Tactical Civics will push through a county militia ordinances to legitimize each militia so they can assist the grand jury and provide the law enforcement alongside paid agencies. The militia will coordinate with local government, except in cases when it is supporting a grand jury investigation, investigating that government, which we have to do. I mean, we have so much corruption in our judicial system. This is what we have to. Now, this is exactly what Tactical Civics is doing. In all of those counties I told you about, around 700, they're teaching people how to set up grand juries and how to, and that's what's going on in our county out here, Geauga County, and many counties now in Ohio, okay? But it takes a while to do it right, and we're going to be doing it by the book. In other words, we will be the legitimate government, we the people, like the Constitution says, we will be, and now, this has got, let me tell you, it's got this corrupt judicial system of ours scared to death. Because in your county, when you, when the grand, when you, and this is, convene a grand jury. That's the highest law in the county, and they're the ones that can bring indictments in the courts. The courts have to abide by that, and if they refuse, you can remove these judges. And so our first right, this is our action, protect to finish in ratification by 27 more states of the first article in the original Bill of Rights requiring congressional districts not exceeding 50,000 people ratified by 11 states. Our first right will give America's 31,000 small towns their first voice in over a century in the U.S. House and the Electoral College. The big cities will no longer control our elections and Congress, and the small districts will make it affordable for average Americans to run for Congress as statesmen rather than career lapdogs of industry and globalists. Boy, boy. And so we're getting a number of the law enforcement people, believe it or not, we actually have people from the CIA and the FBI sitting in our meetings who are members, who have joined in some of the meetings, John. And you might say, boy, I don't know I would trust that. But believe it or not, there are actually still some patriots within, of course, not at the top ranks, but in the lower ranks of both, huh?
I would be a little suspicious, Pastor Ernie, because the FBI is on a witch hunt for anybody within their ranks that would show patriotism as we know it and things like that. So I can't see it, Pastor, seriously.
What has been the response among the field agents in the FBI, the way that they've gone after the whistleblowers? There's been about four or five whistleblowers, and the FBI just turned on them, and they really went after them like they thought they were January 6th patriots, okay? And so what has been the response of the rest of the field agents to that?
Yeah, I think there's been a general, the FBI isn't all bad, Pastor Ernie, but the poison has really permeated a lot of it. So yeah, I was very happy with the whistleblowers, very happy, Pastor Ernie. And especially the IRS whistleblowers, wow-wee, what they laid out, oh my, with Hunter Biden and that whole crime cartel. But I just can't picture the FBI agents out in the open supporting something like this. It's a little hard for me to believe, to tell you the truth.
Well, what about the atmosphere of the country right now? I've seen things like, for example, on August 8th, when we were trying to get the message out about issue one, even though I did get more of a response from the pastors than before, it's nothing like now. Issue one, vote no on issue one signs. I put issue one signs out in my yard, and three times neighbors have come and taken my sign and put it in their own yard. And because they knew that, they figured out, well, if he has access, he can get more signs.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, this is really, and I mean, I have people coming to us. We went and we got 1,000 signs, John, that says vote no on issue one to protect parental rights, because issue one completely eliminates all parental rights. And the ACLU, that corrupt, demonic organization, has the wording in there. And so,
this is a move now, Pastor Ernie. This is what communism is. Communism does away with all authority except the regime, the communist regime. So the family has no rights under communism. But you've got that in California now. They're pushing it. The state of Washington, New York. Was it Minnesota, I think, also? New Jersey. So all of those quote blue states are
really moving and to become real communists, Pastor.
Oh, they are. I mean, they are real communists. And communists to the bone. And so here, let me go on. Our first right, this action is to protect and to finish ratification again of 27 more states of the first article in the original Bill of Rights requiring congressional districts, again, not exceeding 50,000 people, ratified by 11 states. Our first right will be to give America's 31,000 small towns their first voice again. And then here, taking it back to bring Congress home act, to bring Congress home act. Reducing district size to 50,000 people will result in about 6,500 congressmen. The capacity building and the congressional office in D.C. will not accommodate nearly this many. So we will work to get most of our new representatives to agree in writing to help enact our and bring Congress Home Act, stipulating that Congress will meet by internet, working for modest offices in their homes, towns, other than watchful eyes of the people they represent, rather than under the thumb of lobbyists. They will no longer abandon their families and businesses to be corrupted by D.C.'s organized crime. House and Senate will be limited to two terms. What do you think, John?
Oh, I'm all for it. This is wonderful, Pastor. And what it is, it's like kind of decentralizing power.
Right.
You know? And it's putting the power back into the hands of the people.
All right. Ultimately, this is the indictment agent, our engine. Ultimately, an A1 mobile app or indictment engine will scan and evaluate every proposed bill. If it violates the Constitution, the app will find applicable state criminal status being violated in the sponsor's states of sending presentments to grand juries who will warn sponsors to withdraw the bill or face felony indictment. Can you believe that? Look at what we did. We would not have same-sex marriage. Abortion would not be legal. None of this trans stuff would be legal. All of this, this would all be totally illegal. We wouldn't have any of this filth, would we?
No, we wouldn't, Pastor Ian. It's very good. What they're doing is they'd be anchoring all the law would have to have a basis in the Constitution.
Yeah, exactly. Now, truly draining the swamp beyond the foregoing action projects, Tactical Civics has 18 more major reform laws for statesmen to pass over the long term, including ending the Fed counterfeiting cartel, defunding unconstitutional agencies and regulations, all of these NGOs, ending federal funding and plundering of foreign countries, securing our borders, and more. Boy, I'm going to tell you, can you imagine America with secure borders again? Do you see what
We're getting to the meltdown with this border situation, Pastor Ernie. I mean, in Texas here, it's really getting serious. But there's so many, it's spilling over to so many cities and into the states. This is designed by and I think it's Minnesota just issued driver's license to 81,000 legal aliens. And what they're going to do is they're going to give them the right to vote. That's what's coming.
Yeah, I know. That's what it's all about. That's what it's really all about. Because if they're criminals, they're going to vote Democrat, aren't they?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah. So, but I mean, so the cities are screaming now because Texas, Florida, I don't know of any other state, but Texas and Florida are busing so many of the illegal aliens. I think it's 40,000 have gone to New York City. I don't know all from Texas, but a lot of them from Texas. And the governor and the mayor of New York City is enraged.
He's crying like a baby. He's crying like a... Now,
yes,
before he wasn't. before he was boasting, he was boasting
yes.
about New York being a sanctuary city, wasn't he?
Yeah. But this is real serious. We're getting at the kind of explosive level now of the illegal aliens pouring into America.
All right. Speaking of that, Biden says, look, now he's going to stop this because the governors of New York and the Minnesota and these others in Chicago are crying like babies about the illegals coming in. So he's going to make them stay in Texas. He said he's going to try
and do that. Yeah, you're right. He did say that.
Yeah. Well, how do you think that's going to float? You live in Texas.
Yeah, not good, Pastor Ernie. Not good. I mean, this is getting to the point of explosion here against the federal government. I mean, they are supposed to protect us. They're supposed to protect the border. They're doing just the opposite, and they have an agenda. Their agenda is to destroy America. And they have many facets of it, and one of them is illegal immigration to overwhelm us, to crush local and cities, local economies, schools, medical. I mean, just crush us with it. That's their plan. It's not hidden. It's out in the open. That's one of Saul Alinsky's plans.
Well, your county sheriffs have the authority and authorization to arrest federal agents if they come and they try to enforce Biden's law, don't they?
I don't know, Pastor Ernie. I would say that if the county sheriff saw a federal agent committing a crime and like his presence, they'd have no problem arresting them for that.
There are some counties where the counties are posted, in the entrance into the county, they have a post to say all federal agents must check into the county sheriff's office entering the county. That's happened out to like in Utah and the places out there. Alrighty, we're coming up to a break. And let me just very quickly, John, what's happening? You got a prosecutor, he's one of us. Your attorney general out there is one of us, and the rhinos are trying to get rid of him, right?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, this is, when we come back, maybe the second hour, we could spend a little time on this. This is the most blatant, and it's shocking here in Texas, but they've manifested the rhinos are so desperate to get rid of the attorney general here that they are unified with the Democrats to get rid of him.
Well, when we come back from the break, we're coming up to the break. We'll do that. I know you're on top. You've been following it pretty closely. We'll pick up on that. So here, let me just read you this real quickly. Here, this is not war or revolution. It is we the people finally enforcing the unique law that our founders left us through peaceful, lawful means, unlike politics. Tactical civis needs only half of 1% of the people to take responsibility, and our mission will succeed. Once the responsible remnant of the people restore our grand juries and militias and critical mass of other citizens, we see their value. We can force state legislators to cooperate in our first national project. So turn off the world and den of politics, the fear, porn, and the D.C. crime, and join us. We're coming up to a break. When we come back, Big John's going to let us know all about what is happening. So take it away. We're on a countdown. Are we there? Down to 10 seconds?
Introducing Carvana Value Tracker, where you can track your car's value over time and learn what's driving it. It might make you excited.
Whoa, didn't know my car was valued this high.
It might make you nervous.
Uh-oh, market's flooded. My car's value just dipped 2.3%.
It might make you optimistic.
Our low mileage is paying off. Our value's up.
And it might make you realistic.
Car prices haven't gone up in a couple weeks. Maybe it's time to sell.
But it will definitely make you an expert on your car's value. Carvana Value Tracker. Visit Carvana.com to start tracking your car's value today.